praised, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Can we sing 127, please?
127.
Thank you.
so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. I don't really want to focus on the negative. I want to focus on verse 43, where Jesus says, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. One of the things that I'm really thankful for is that we have a God that is our Father. In this world, I don't know if you know all of your backgrounds, but more and more in America, probably around the world as well, there is a lack of fathers in the home. And unfortunately, my situation, my father, my blood father, actually abandoned us, and I didn't even know him. The father that adopted me ended up getting divorced. So in my teen years, all of my teen years, I did not have a father at home. But we do have a heavenly Father. And no matter how bad or negligent our father, earthly fathers may be, we have a faithful Father in heaven that loves us. It was God the Father that gave the Son. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm thankful that I heard that good news. And I just have one thing. I'm very thankful that I heard the good news. And we have a God that is called love, and not a God like the pagans have, that, you know, the God of war, the God of thunder, these gods that are tremendously feared, sort of superstitiously. But we have a God that's love, that loves us. And it is love that he gave his Son that we might have life. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for everlasting life. I'm thankful for a God that is a Father. And Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm thankful for the fact that one day we're going to be liberated from iniquity and the sin that does afflict us. And we are going to shine forth, how does it say, shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of our Father. And we're going to go to a home where there's going to be good fellowship all the time, with no strife, no envy, no bitterness, no memories of past disputes. We're just going to have peace that passes all understanding. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm also thankful for a lot of other things. I'm thankful for a godly wife and my wife Janice, who actually made me a better father. Without her, I didn't really have an example, but she was the person that really helped me be a father. I'm thankful for the fathers, my children that are fathers. They're good fathers. They're faithful fathers. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for my daughters. I'm thankful for all of them. I'm thankful for all of my family. I'm thankful for my church family, really. Yeah. I'm thankful for the good fellowship we have here, the good people doing the best to serve the Lord. I'm thankful for that. I'm even thankful for destiny. Just really thankful for God's mercy. And I do like that verse. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun and the kingdom of their Father. Thank God we have a Father.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen. So I'll read from Psalm 89, a couple of verses with some help. Psalm 89, verse 1.
I will sing of the mercy of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations.
I'm thankful for God's faithfulness that he stayed by our side. And I'm thankful for mercy because he doesn't just, when we do something bad, he doesn't just punish us like really quick. He just gives us a little more time.
It's true.
Psalm 89:2. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall establish in your heavens.
I'm thankful that God gives us mercy all through our emotions.
I'm thankful that God is faithful with us every day, even when we're not.
I'm thankful that God gives us mercy too.
Amen. And this chapter goes on about God's faithfulness, and in a time and a place of constant change and things that you can't rely on, God's faithfulness is evident to those who believe in him. In verse 3 it says, I have made a covenant with my chosen, and I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. I'm thankful for God's faithfulness, that he has been with us, he's provided for us, and he has a covenant that he's made for us. We're also going to read verse 14.
Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Luke chapter 17. We have a story here of Luke chapter 17 where Jesus actually heals some men. And this starts in verse 11. It says, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. You know, the interesting thing about the story, obviously, is that there were 10 men cleansed, 10 men that were healed, but only one that came back to glorify Jesus, to give him thanks. And Jesus was surprised about that. Jesus was expecting all of them to give him thanks. I think that's very evident. Jesus was expecting all of them to give him thanks, and he's saying, wasn't there 10 that were cleansed, and there's only one that came back to give me thanks? So I don't want to be part of the 9 that forgot about it, right? I want to be part of the one that comes back and gives thanks. This is what I want to do. And I just want to point out a few things about what this man did. They were all cleansed, but it says that this man, in verse 15, when he saw that he was cleansed, first of all, he recognized he was cleansed. And you think, well, come on, I mean, did they not know that they were cleansed? Did they not see that they were cleansed? Well, you know, sometimes, I don't know if you've noticed it, but some people, it seems to be easily get into a habit of looking always at the negative. I don't know if that happens, has ever happened to you, or you can notice, a lot of people just never see anything good. Like, they can't see it. It's right there. They have food to eat, and yet they're complaining about having to eat with a plastic fork or something. I mean, it's just, it's everywhere. There's things that you have that all you have to do is open your eyes and recognize you've got it. There's something to be thankful for. Open your eyes. It says he saw that he was healed. Have you not seen what God has done for you? Have you not seen the good things that Christ has just put into your life? It's there. If you haven't seen it, you just need to open your eyes. But it's there. Sometimes we just don't want to see. It's like we're looking at all the bad things, and it's easy to get people to look at bad things. But just open your eyes. There's something there to be thankful for. God gave him healing, and he saw that he was healed. But then after he saw that he was healed, it says he turned back. You know, a lot of times, and this can happen too, is once we get what we have, the thing is, we get distracted because what we have is so good, we just start applying it, and we live our lives, and we use what we have, and we not like what we have, and we do what we have with what we have to do with, and we just forget about actually the effort it takes to actually leave the distractions and turn back and focus on going to praise God. Because these men, I think out of the 10, they probably all noticed that they got healed. The thing is, once they got healed, they were probably too distracted by their healing that they wanted to go do all the things that they desired to do and forgot about what Jesus had done for them and to give thanks. They were distracted. And I don't think we need to be distracted. I think, worship requires some sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And so if we're going to be able to give thanks, we're going to have to be like, hey, let's forget the distractions. Let's recognize what we have. And let's turn to God. Let's turn to Jesus. And let's give him thanks. Because this is what he did. He saw that he had been healed. And then he turned back to give him thanks. And with a loud voice, glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet. You know, the turning back to Christ is that he wanted to be where Jesus was.
Right.
I mean, whenever you're thankful, whenever God has done something that great for you, it's like you want to be around him. You want to be somewhere close to him. You want to get as close to him as you can. That's what this man felt. I need to go as close as I can. I want to be right there with him. I want to be able to kneel down in front of his face and let him see me, and I want to glorify him. And you know, that's what praise is about. It's us wanting to be by him. I think one of the greatest things, parts of scripture that excites me is whenever it says that Jesus is going to return with the saints, and he's going to be admired by the saints at his coming. I think that's just going to be a great thing, to see Christ and to be close to him and to just be able to admire him. Wow, that's going to be a great thing, because I want to be close to him because he is good to me and I just want to thank him. And it says with a loud voice, he glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet. You know, it takes being receiving something from the Lord and wanting to thank him for it. Sometimes it's going to provoke some emotion. Right? It's gonna get some things stirring, and you're gonna just wanna say, thank you. You're gonna wanna praise him. It says with a loud voice, and it says he fell down on his face. You know, it takes some emotion to show God that we're thankful. And that's what I think, it's a great thing to be able to get together and to sing and to praise God and to just say, thank you, Lord, because it's something that shows God that we appreciate what he's given us. So if you've seen what God has given you, and if you're willing to just get close to him and recognize him and say, thank you, Lord, he does appreciate that. He expects it from us. Because he is worthy of it. And I want to give thanks to God because he has done so many good things for me. And I just want to thank the Lord because he healed me also. He saved me from my wickedness, from my sin, from the punishment that I deserved. He took it upon himself. And I can say there is therefore no condemnation for me because I'm in Jesus Christ. And that's an amazing, marvelous thing that Jesus Christ has done for me. He shed his own blood so that I could be saved. And I praise the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for my wife, for my kids, for my family. The Lord has been so good to me. I mean, there's so many things I could thank the Lord for. I'm sure you could too. I thank the Lord for my church. I thank the Lord that my in-laws have left. I mean, that my in-laws were here visiting. I'm just very thankful to the Lord. He has been so good to me. And I want to praise his name today. Thank you, Lord, for all the good things you've given me.
Thank you.
I recognize them. And I lift your name up today.
Amen. Well, I'm going to try to do this without too much emotion, Stephen, but I'm not going to promise you that I'll get through it too easily. Thursday, Thanksgiving Days are always extremely hard for me. Thanksgiving was always my favorite time of the year, and but 17 years ago it kind of changed when my mother passed away. But God is good. And this last Thursday, a dear friend of mine sent me a message, and she said, "I just wanted to bless you today because you've blessed me so many times." And she says, "I just want you to remember the goodness of God." And it brought me to Romans chapter 2, remembering that verse that says, "Knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." And I remember 45 years ago, when I heard of that goodness of God, it led me to repentance because my brother and sister-in-law had led me to the Lord, showing me God's goodness. And so Thursday was kind of a different day, but I kept trying to focus on the goodness of God because He has definitely been good to me, and I'm sure all of you can say He's been good to you as well. And I'm just thinking, have been thinking about the blessing of family that has been mentioned, and I have been blessed with a very good family. We went to Mexico, and we left our family, but yet my co-workers became my family. And we had sweet, sweet fellowship. We had good memories. Still to this day, there has not been any better Thanksgiving than the ones that we shared in Mexico. And then if Mexico wasn't far enough away, the Lord sent us to Poland and showed us His goodness and His faithfulness and His provision with co-workers there. But what really became precious in my mind, in my life, were the Polish brethren that became my family. Not only did the Polish brethren become my family, but I got a daughter and a son-in-law that are Polish. And that family is precious. But through the years, looking at our families, we all have imperfections in them. And whether God has given you a great nuclear family or whether He's given you an extended family, God's goodness is always there. And, you know, when you get your kids grown and out of the house and the grandkids come along and, you know, life starts to settle down, as you say, then He gives us another child, and that's been a blessing. I thank You for having this child, and it's been good. But to not just of the family, but God's goodness, remembering God's goodness, His faithfulness, His love, His compassion, when we don't deserve all that love and all of that, you know, failed again. We'll get up, Janice. Get going again. I forgive you. God's forgiveness. You know?
Yes.
Have you ever experienced God's forgiveness? I mean, really, truly God's forgiveness where you know what you were and then you see that He's healed you.
Yeah.
He's forgiven you.
Thank you, Lord.
That burden has just been thrown off. And you can't, but I can't help but fall on my face and cry every time I think of everything that God has forgiven me for.
Thank you.
And for all the goodnesses that He's given us. For the repentance, we have a chance to be saved.
Yes.
We have a chance to know the Father. We have an opportunity to come close to Him and be part of His family. And
you
can say, "He's my Father." I only had a father for 6 years, an earthly father. And so I don't quite know what it's like to grow up in a family with, you know, a father and a mother. I had a mother and three brothers that all took their turns at being my father, but it's not the same. It's not the same as having a real father. And they did a good job. And last night we had a memorial to my eldest brother that passed away. And I've lost two brothers this year in the 5 months. And, you know, the goodness of God was shown last night in His memorial because it's just a temporary goodbye. It's not a goodbye forever. I'll see Him again one day. And just little things like having the sunshine today to come and have instead of rain and boy, it's nice to wake up and see that brightness of God. The breath that we take each morning to get up, the strength that we have to get up and face another day with the problems. And all of this, all of these things are from the goodness of God, from our Father. He just gives to us time and time again.
Thank you.
And we don't deserve it, but we can sure be appreciative of it. And we should praise His name.
Amen.
And I want to thank the Lord for who He is, for His salvation that He's given me, for the family He's given me, for the church family, for my brothers and sisters, for just life itself. It's a grand old life, even with all the problems, with health issues, with financial issues, with problems. It's a good life. It's a good life. And it's only good because of God and His goodness. And I just want to thank each one of you. Each one of you for what you've been in my life. Every one of you. And I want to praise my Father because He alone is worthy.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
My children got saved. And
and this is where I came when I came from New Mexico. I want to say that through the years, God is faithful.
Amen.
No matter what happens to us, no matter what happens to our kids, because I always believe when you're trying to serve God, when you're trying to be faithful, we don't fight against you, me. We fight against principalities that try to destroy us.
Thank you, Lord.
But like I said, God is faithful.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
I have come to, I wanted to share with you that I have come to every single day. There's not a day that goes by that I don't raise up in the morning and I pray. I pray for humanity. I pray for the lost. I pray for all brothers and sisters that might be going down those through life. And I'm just thankful that every
thank you,
day
Lord.
He gives me another day.
Thank you, Lord.
All that I ask is that He guide my feet, my hands, my mouth,
thank you.
So that He may be glorified.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Let's stand and sing Psalm 100.
Number 154 is a supplemental for the Lord.
Also in the Bible.
Yeah, Psalm 100 in the Bible.
Exceptions. If you don't have a verse that you're thinking about and you don't really know how to expound on a verse, you don't have to share a verse. All you got to do is just stand up and say thank you for what you're thankful for. This is one of those times.
I'm thankful for everybody here. I'm also thankful for the Lord saving my life and my soul.
Amen.
And my dad, my dad died when I was 4. My mother gets 7 children. I mean, it was tough.
Sure.
But I thank the Lord for everything that she's done, everything that
attention, Lord, an urgent message for anyone with diabetes, pre-diabetes, or high blood.
That's because they love me and they love my children.
Yep.
And I'm blessed for the church that preaches the gospel the way I'd like to hear it.
Amen.
I'm crying.
That's all right.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'll be able to take one verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God.
Amen. Not of works.
Not of works.
That's right.
Amen.
I know.
Thank you, Lord, for your grace.
Lord.
Thank you.
Could we start with 2:10?
2:10 in the red book. Take it out.
MS diagnosis, and God in his perfect timing Bless us with a healthy baby boy.
Praise him.
I'm thankful. He sent me the first picture, and I showed it on Wednesday night. My wife is still mad at me. Ugly cone head, like an alien out of space. Told my wife I'm going to take it back to Mexico and I'm going to frame it. To me, it's a miracle.
Yeah, it is.
Amen.
I've been praying with them for a long time. I know they've been praying. A lot of you have been praying. And there is a healthy baby boy at home.
Amen.
With a healthy mother.
Amen.
Praising God. In a home where you're going to stand a chance to grow up and know Jesus Christ.
Yes.
No matter what this world is going to be like, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what God did for my son, my daughter, my grandbaby. I'm thankful for that little grandbaby over there.
Yeah.
To me, they're both miracles. Great miracles of God, and I'm thankful.
Thank you, Lord.
David wants to be thankful about
it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I don't want to cut anybody off. I want you all to get your opportunity. But I've got something to say here. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." I want to thank the Lord for my wife. I see her over there. She left me while I was getting ready to do this. But she's in the room. I want to thank God for her. She's been my best friend and such a wonderful mother and wonderful wife. She's a great cook, and God gave her to me in a special way. I have no doubt that it was God that set that up, and I appreciate that. But there's something else that this verse says about giving thanks, and he says, as being heirs together of the grace of life. And this is true. I'm an heir together with her of the grace of life. But just I want you to consider that phrase, the grace of life. That life is grace. Do you know what grace is? Grace means it's favor that you didn't deserve. It's favor that you didn't earn. Unmerited favor. That's what grace means. The idea of grace is God gives you something you didn't necessarily deserve. It wasn't because of something you did. You got something freely by His grace. You got something that you did not earn. You did not make yourself. You did not work it out. You didn't merit it. That's what grace is. And it's an amazing concept. And I want you to consider the fact that life is grace.
Yes.
You're alive, but you didn't make yourself. You didn't give yourself life. You're not the one that spanked you when you were born, right? You got everything you have in life from God. It was all a gift. Nothing that you have did you earn. Life is a grace, and you ought to recognize that it's grace of life, even if your life stinks.
Yes. Amen.
Seriously, if all you are is a stump, if you're a sore, a running sore, if all you are is a scab, if your whole life is just one big miserable whatever, let me tell you something, it's still grace. It's a gift of God, and you owe God thanks just for life. You realize how dull-minded so many people are today that they don't recognize the incredible miracle of childbirth? They can look at childbirth and think, meh. They think, oh, the only thing that exists is matter. That's the only thing that exists. They don't even recognize the fact that creation itself is extremely complex. Not just the laws of nature that cause physics to happen and cause a universe to happen. That is a tremendously sophisticated thing that God did, and they still can't figure it out. They know that the calibrations on all the different forces have to be exact for it to even exist. And yet they don't see God even in the universe. They can't see Him. And then they can't see God in life. Life itself, the fact that biological life is so incredibly sophisticated and so complex, and it could not possibly have happened by itself, and yet they still can't look up and say, I know there is a God because of the life He gave me. And there's more to creation even than that, but I won't go into it. You ought to recognize that life is grace, and I recognize that the life God gave me is grace. I didn't deserve it, and that means I ought to be thankful for it. But that's not all. Did you know that God is forbearing?
Yes.
Meaning that when you sin and do something wrong, God ought to just take you out. When you do something wrong, God ought to kill you. The wages of sin is death. God should have just killed Adam the moment he sinned. Should have just killed Eve the moment he sinned. But he had other plans. He had something bigger that he wanted to do. And so the forbearance that he allowed him to live, he made a way for him to live. He's doing the same thing to you today. That you have gotten grace from God, and now forbearance, that you are a sinner. You know you do wrong. You have a conscience. You know the difference between right and wrong. That's another gift of God. And yet, after you do wrong, God doesn't crush you. What do the children say? Because of His mercy, He gives us a little time. That's called the forbearance of God. He just keeps putting up with you, and you're still breathing His air, eating His food, drinking His water that He drops on you out of the sky.
Yeah.
Boy, I think we ought to be thankful for the forbearance of God. And then you ought to consider the forgiveness of God. That is, it's more than just forbearance. God made a way for you to be absolutely forgiven. That is, made as if you'd never sinned and done Him wrong. He made a way of reconciliation for you to come be before God. Thank you, God, for what Jesus Christ did on the cross, that God made a way for me to be absolutely okay with Him. And that God could say, I accept you, Bill, even though you're a sinner, because of what Jesus did for you. That's the forgiveness that God gives, and it was costly. But we thank Him, and you ought to thank Him all the time for His forgiveness. But that's not all. He didn't just give you forgiveness. He gives you eternal life. Eternal life. That's something where you live forever. You just keep on living. And you know, you don't have that separation. You lost your mama. But no, not anymore. Someday, it's never going to happen again where you lose someone you love. You lost Maya. What a devastating thing. What a devastating thing to lose an 11-year-old child. Find out when your child is 10 years old that she's got cancer and you're going to lose her. And you struggle and you fight and you do everything you can, and then she goes. And all you can do is humbly say, God, what in the world can I do? I can't save her. I can't do anything. And you can only trust God. Let me tell you something. Someday, all of that goes away. Yes. There will be no more death, no more pain, Amen. No more sorrow, no more anguish, no more parting. It'll all be God setting us up for an eternal life. Wow. Did you know He didn't only give us eternal life? He gives us a mansion.
Yes.
A mansion. He could have just given us a 10 by 10 room somewhere with no window. But no, He gives us a mansion. He promised it. You know, He didn't have to promise that. That's pretty amazing. He gives us eternal life. He gives us eternal usefulness. Did you know He gives ministry? He gave you something to do. Oh, you know, I appreciate Him giving me a ministry. He gave me a ministry in Mexico that I cannot tell you how thankful I am for God giving me something to do and then blessed it in such a way that it's just a blessing to me. And you know, there's all kinds of problems. I get called all the time, this problem, that problem, this problem. The care of the churches, I understand it, I get it. It is a burden, but boy, I'm telling you, I just rejoice every time I think about those people out there still preaching, still singing, and still praising God. It is just an amazing thing. He gives you ministry. He gives you spiritual provision. He gave me a wife. A partner for life. That's amazing. That is amazing. He gave me children. He gave me grandchildren. All this provision. He gives me a church.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, man, He's good. He gives you the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He talks to you in the night. Did you know that?
Yes.
And when you read the Bible, He just opens things up to you. And when you hear somebody preaching, bang, a light bulb goes off in your head and you say, that's God talking to me. God's telling me that. That is a gift of God. That is grace. He doesn't owe that to you, and you didn't do anything to deserve it. Stop pretending you've got this merit because you're so holy. Oh, forget it. Forget it. It's all grace. It's all grace. Even your faith is a gift of God. He gives you adoption or new birth. He doesn't just give you all these things. He says, I'm going to make you mine. You know what adoption is? Yeah, you know what adoption is. It's, you know something? I choose you, and now you're mine. And there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Nothing, because when he adopts you, he takes you as his own personal responsibility. That is also a gift of God, that he did not own you, and there's no logical reason for him to do it. Man,
thank you.
He gives you that. Not only that, he gives you fellowship. You know what fellowship is, right? It's like a mutually pleasing conversation. And you have to be on sort of the same footing to have fellowship. That means God makes you on the same footing as him. That means he had to raise us up quite a bit, and he had to condescend quite a little bit lower for himself just to be able to have fellowship. But that's what he says, fellowship with God. You can talk to God. And he says, I'm wanting to talk to you. He says, pray to me, speak to me, what have you. Do you know that I can speak to God at any time and I don't have to tremble in fear? I can just speak to him because he has become my father. He has become my friend. He's become my advocate. He's become my redeemer. He has become everything to me.
Amen.
That's how he is. It's fellowship. And there's one more step in this wonderful trip of grace of life. And that is, he says, someday he's going to come back and he's going to join us all together. And we're all going to be sitting together at the table. That's going to be a big table. But he's going to be sitting together at that table. And it says, Christ is going to gird himself and serve us.
Wow.
He's going to serve us. This is a gift of God. Jesus Christ himself someday is going to serve you. Like he's been serving us all this time.
Yes,
he's been taking care of us. He is worthy to be praised.
Yes, he is.
Anybody so dull-minded that they can disregard his will and then not thank him, not render him anything for the benefits that he's given, does not understand life itself. They are still so immature that they cannot see how much they owe God, who has given us all things richly to enjoy.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Hallelujah.
206.
Free.
number 27 in the supplement. That was Connor asking for that. Not me.
Made the world and put us in it, so he'd have some company. But as I read that verse about a million times, one day I realized, no, God wasn't alone. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with. You can't be with somebody if you're alone. So he obviously was not alone. There was something going on inside of him that made him with God. There's plenty of verses to show that. I'm not going to try to get into that. It's kind of a deep thing.
Yep.
But anyway, he was with God, so he was not alone. So what made him make us then? Let's just say, let's pretend he was lonely. Let's pretend that he was a giver. Let's pretend that God is love. Let's say that God, he said he's love, so he's love. Well, what if you had too much love? What would happen? What if there's so much love in you, just like a bomb, and had to explode, you know? Well, that's how I've always picked up this for a while now, to appreciate God's creation was like that. He just did what he did because he just loved. He had to express his love. He had to go somewhere. And I was thinking, wow, how thankful have I been this year.
Yeah.
But you know, what makes you give? Thanksgiving. It's an interesting phrase. I turned it around. Giving thanks, thanksgiving. But where did that, I mean, where did that begin? It began in God. God gave. He gave something of himself to make us. So he can give us something. He wanted to give us something.
Right.
But right here in Corinthians, Paul said that there's the Spirit was given to us for what? So that we could see and know the things that are freely given us.
Yeah.
Something Billy just said was about the grace of God. It was blowing me away just now. In Ephesians, the grace of God, somebody just quoted that. And now I can't quote it because I'm nervous. Remember that verse? Yeah, saved by grace. But after that it says that, Ephesians chapter 2, I believe. Yeah, it says that he's not just gracing us now. He's going to do it for eternity.
That's what it says.
It's not going to end. We just get a little tiny piece of it right now. It's a little tiny, tiny piece. For the ages and the ages to come, we're going to be experiencing his favor, his kindness, all of his kindness that's given to us in Christ Jesus.
That's right. Yeah.
Wow. How much of that am I experiencing, or how much are you experiencing of this grace right now? If we're experiencing it, you know what? What happens is you become thankful. And when you get so much thankfulness in you, you got to give. You can't stop yourself. You have to. I was just thinking about another verse. Paul said in Romans, if he gave us his only son, how much more won't he give us all things? If I let my son, my oldest son, die for my firstborn son, I gave him for X person, for some my worst enemy or somebody I didn't like. You know, if I was willing to give my son up to that and die for that person so they can live, how much more of my possessions would I want to give to you or to that person?
Yes, sure.
And God is that way. He's telling us, he's trying to explain to us, I got so much more that I want to give you. And wow, if I'm not thankful, it's because I'm not receiving what he's given me. And I'm not seeing it through the Spirit, or I'm not just not believing it. There's something missing in me that I'm not taking what God's given me if I'm not thankful. And what was shame how little I've been thankful this year. Lord, thank you. My son, my oldest son, think about him. He's presently on some kind of wild trek across the country. And he's car camping, car/tent camping, somewhere in the Colorado mountains right now. Probably hiking. He's texting. That was him just texting me.
I bet he's cold.
Yeah, he's cold. But anyway, he left a really good paying job. I said, why are you leaving? I said, Dad, I'm tired of trying to get woke, but whatever that word is, woke, politically correct, and brainwashed from this company. I'm tired. I'm not in this corporate world. I said, okay, good. But I said, you just stick it out for 10 years, you're retired. I don't want the money. I don't care about all that. I'd rather live now. And because he watched me in my time. When he grew up, all I ever told was life is so damn short. So short, so short. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. And anyway, so it's in his head now. But he'd repeat my words back to me. So I just said, here's a boy that dropped out of university, a liberal university, because he was smart. But he made me sell my Harley Davidson motorcycle so I could pay for his tuition and then drop that semester. After I got rid of my favorite little toy. But that same boy, he's sending me messages about God's freely giving grace every time he goes to the top of a mountain. I encourage Matt to keep climbing those mountains. Jesus brought a load with his Father on the top of those mountains, and he took his disciples there and teach them on top of those mountains. So keep going on top of those mountains. I don't mean to keep rambling here, but that my point is that son, this son of my Anthony, I never thought I'd do this. I'm hurt because COVID took away my business. I have very little, but I'm living on the Lord's grace. Thank you, Lord. But I never thought I'd do this. He just did something I thought was kind of foolish, but knowing him, his character, I know he's following the Lord. But he said, Dad, it's really cold here, really cold. And up on top, 12,000, 11,000 feet. He said, Dad, I said, why don't you just take a break, go to a hotel? He says, Dad, I only budgeted so much money. And I only have so much savings already. I've already been retired for a whole year now. He said, I'm going to keep staying retired, so I got to budget this time. So, but out of the thankfulness in me, I am now funding this boy to keep wasting his time. killed. It's because I'm thankful that I'm giving. And wow, the Lord, He will give us anything, everything, because we are in His Son. Because my Son, He's in me, I'm in Him. I would have given everything, even if it's costing me right now. He already cost our Father everything to give His Son mercy. And let's not miss these things freely given us. That's the whole point. Let's not miss the things that are freely given us. Let's believe them. Let's look at them, take them, and receive them.
Yep.
And to end that, Joshua, this morning I woke up, and I read a verse in about Joshua. All I saw the verse, a little piece of the verse that said, he said, I can't quote it now, but rise up and shout, because the Lord has delivered Jericho into your hands. They marched around seven times. The last time, I don't think they shouted every time. Yeah, that last one, he said, shout. You know what they shouted? If you don't believe, they didn't believe. If we don't believe, we won't shout.
Right.
When we believe, right, we shout.
Amen.
And the walls fall down. Flat. Our enemies, Satan is crushed under our feet when we believe. And we shout.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Woo!
In Psalm
145,
verse 9,
it
says, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. And I've just been really struck with the Lord's goodness. I think the longer you live, the more you just see the evil and the wickedness that is in the world. And I just can't help but admire God's goodness. And just thinking, there's a verse, I don't remember exactly how it says, but it says that the Lord is good to the righteous and to the wicked. You know, and I've noticed even people who don't believe in God, they don't even realize how much they're benefiting just from God, the food that He gives us. You know, He's giving you such good food, and not only tastes good. You know, any kind of seasoning you want to season your food and make it taste good, God made that just for your pleasure. That's all He did, just for your pleasure. And I notice people who don't even believe in God, they admire His creation, and they'll stand in awe at a mountain, and they'll pause and pick up a flower and admire its beauty, and they don't even stop to think of this God who's so good that it's just reflected in all of His creation.
It's true.
And then there's a verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. I don't know why I cry. In Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. And I was listening to a message by Adrian Rogers. I love listening to him. And he was talking about there's different types of people. There's people who are just unthankful, you know, the complainers that will look for every reason to complain. They cannot find anything good in anything. And I've worked with some of them, and it's very annoying. And then you've got the people who are thankful for the obvious things, right? People who recognize, okay, I'm thankful I've got health, or I'm thankful I've got a job, and they're thankful for that. And that's good. We ought to be thankful for our blessings. But God tells us to give thanks for everything. And that means even in the bad things, and even in the difficult days. I haven't quite arrived there yet. I'm trying. But I can say that I've seen that there is a special blessing even in the difficult things.
Amen.
And, you know, I think I look around and I see everybody suffers in some way. Everybody has troubles. And I think, we wouldn't know God's goodness if we didn't have some of these difficulties.
Right.
We wouldn't know God's faithfulness if we didn't experience the faithlessness of humanity.
Yeah, it's true.
And if you didn't have financial troubles, you wouldn't have that special blessing of seeing God just provide for you in a miraculous way. And I've experienced that, and it's amazing to just be at the end of your rope, and then God just goes, here it is just for you. If you didn't lose someone, you wouldn't long for heaven, right? We would just get kind of comfortable here, but when you lose someone, it's like all of a sudden those strings are cut, and you're like, okay, I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready to go be with you. And so I just want to give God thanks for the blessings that He's brought me to the difficult things.
Amen.
I keep thinking I'm not gonna get choked up. Anyway, Philippians 4:6-7 has been sweet to me for a long time. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This year, last year, has been a bit of a challenge. And it's frustrating for me because I want to go in and I want to fix it. I think that's just about every guy. We want to fix it and make it better. Sometimes we can't.
That's right.
Sometimes we can't go see somebody, help them, or go help somebody with a project or something. You just can't. And it's frustrating for me because I want to be able to fix things. But you know what? When I can't, God echoes this in my head. Pray.
Yes.
You can't go fix it. What can you do? Pray. Go to the Lord and ask Him for His counsel, for His grace,
yeah,
for His will to be done in a certain situation. And He'll do it. And it's true. It's true for me anyway. If I take it to the Lord and I pray about it, the peace of God that passes all understanding keeps my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And it is such a blessing and such a joy. So that frustration just goes away. It's gone. And so I just praise the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for that peace. And He's a good God.
Yes.
And I thank Him. I thank Him for this congregation.
Amen.
I thank you. I thank Him for y'all. I think if I'm here and everybody's always asking me, do you have a ride home, Brian? Do you need a ride to church, Brian? And it's just the sweetest thing. I appreciate that. And I'm socially awkward. I'm weird. And yet y'all still show care about me. I appreciate that. And I thank you for the brothers and the sisters, the brothers that preach and teach and have given opportunity for me to grow and to learn. And that's a blessing. So I don't want to lovey-dovey-dovey, you know, where you feel good. I want to have a sermon where I feel bad. I should feel bad if it's something I'm doing wrong. And I thank God for that, so that I can change, the opportunity to change and grow.
Yeah.
And I just praise the Lord.
Thanks.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, sister. We'll say 89 now.
Okay. Psalm 124 and verse 15, and then Psalm 145. The same song about salvation, happy are those that know the Lord is our salvation. In verse 15, 144, it says, happy is the people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And Psalm 146:5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord. His God. You know, the God makes us happy, not only because of salvation that He gave to each one of us, because we're here because of that. But He says, happy is that people. There's so many people in this world that have happiness, but in things or other things,
sure,
that they have done. But God says, happy is that people that is in such a case, yet happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
Amen.
There's a lot of people that have other gods, and they're not happy in that situation, but our God, we're happy with Him. We were thankful for that, and He gives us that happiness. In Psalm 139, this is one of my favorite verses, 139, 17 through 18, Psalm 139. And this is something really precious. There it is. How precious also are the thoughts unto me, O God. And how great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee.
Yeah.
That's, you know, right there, precious.
to us. He thinks about us. And he says, how great is the sum of them? If they're immeasurable, you can't even count them. And it says, if I should count them, they are more than the number than the sand. I mean, you see the sand, and it's so little, so small, the granules. Yet God has that. He sees that number. He says, when I awake, I am still with thee. You know, God gives us life daily. We are, you know, awakened because he gives us that breath in our lives. And there's some reason we're still here because God still is using us. I'm grateful to our teachers, for our ladies that minister, for those that continue our ministry here, but for even those that have family and are still growing and teaching their children the Lord. And a blessed little baby girl, boy that is right here with Eric and David. Life is still there. God has given us that life, and it's been really precious, and my thoughts, you know, his thoughts to us are great. I am thankful for my husband, Rodney. He's a support to me and a strength to me, and I love him very much. I'm thankful for him. I am thankful for salvation, for bringing that into my life and saving me and changing my life completely, for my precious Janice and Brent. You know, for always being there. They're like another family to us. Bernie was also part of that family. But I now have my church family, and it's still growing. So I love you all, and I thank you for your support, for always being there for me and Brian. I'm thankful for my children. I love them very much and miss them when they're gone, but when they're here, we rejoice. And for my sisters and my niece Faith, and for my brothers, I'm grateful to them because they've been there for me. They've always been a support to us too. And then most of all, I thank my ladies that I have for my Bible study, for all the ladies that have been an encouragement to me, for Betty, and I see my ladies Audie and Rosie and Elsa, for Marion, for all those that continue to come to hear God's Word and grow God's Word. They've been a blessing to me, and I love them very much. And for this church, once again, for being a support and a love. And I'm grateful for all of you. I love you very much.
Amen.
Number 89 in the supplement.
Yeah.
received my word from my Father who loved me. And we will come up with him and make our hope with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, that the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, bring all things to you, remember whosoever has said unto you, peace I leave with you, peace I give unto you. Not in that the world giveth unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. For my lifetime, all this time that the Lord has given me all these years, I thank him for all that he's been there. And I thank him for the Comforter. I thank him for the peace. I thank him for his love. I thank him for his presence, for his power, for my salvation. I thank him for my family, and I do thank the Lord for my church people. And you all are encouraging, and especially preachers that bring I really grateful creatures because especially you, Brother Joe, and all the other Brother Brandon and all the ones who give out the word, because you are encouraging. Your words from God are encouraging, and it does touch the heart. It does make you do the right things, even when you eyes before God. And I am just thankful for all of that, guys. It's a great God, and we all glorify him, and I do glorify him for everything
that's
done.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I want to thank the Lord for being able to be here again. Natalie and I have been down in Florida for about 7 years, and 5 or 6 years, and we came back, and we moved to Alabama, and we joined the Baptist church there. I had to join, or else I couldn't preach or teach there, so I had to go according to their rules. But, you know, I just want to thank the Lord here today publicly that I thank the Lord, my God and Father, for some 62 or 64 years ago, he sent a preacher out on Pearsall Road to take the gospel to my mom and dad. And it was because of his faithfulness and his obedience unto the Lord, I stand here today. More than likely, if it wouldn't have been for Lendell Kincaid bringing the gospel out, there's no telling what my life would have been, or Genesis, you know. And yes, it is Thanksgiving. It is hard, but I truly believe this Bible.
Amen.
And I know that one of these days, I'm going to see my mom again. There's nobody on this earth, including Janice, that loves my mama any more than I did. I'm not taking anything away or saying that she's coming from that. There's nobody that loves mama more than I did. And I stayed around and helped take care of her. And, you know, the Lord blessed me, and I thank you that again, for a whole year of being with my mother the year before she died. And, you know, I want to thank the Lord again for that night, that Thanksgiving night. It had been raining for several days there. It was cloudy, it was cold, and just a few moments, maybe an hour or so before she died, the clouds opened up, the moon was out, the stars were shining bright, and I leaned over to my mom and I whispered in her ear, I said, "Mom, there's a clear sky. It's a good day for flying." And she's gone. Hey, she's in heaven with Jesus. That's what she's working for. That's what we're all working for. I want to see Jesus. I wish she'd strike you down right now with a heart attack. God's word says that.
Right.
And I'm not very smart, and I'm not a good preacher or anything like that. But I know if God's word says it, it's got to be true.
That's right.
Because I've tried all the rest of that stuff, and it's a bunch of lies.
Yep.
I listened to the lies of the devil for about 25 years, and all they got me was darkness, despair, broken health, broken marriages, and broken everything. Broken family, broken children. Psalms 32. I love this psalm. I've been studying the psalms. I want to see the heart of David, the heart and mind of David. And it also reveals the mind and heart of God. Because he speaks in the psalm. It says, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Thank you, Lord.
Number one. Number two, blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. I'm blessed here because God said anybody that his sins have been forgiven is a blessed person.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make a difference what happens to me. Yeah, I might get cancer, I might get the car wreck, and be a quadriplegic for the rest of whatever my days are here, I'm still a blessed man.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes that's hard to take and face because these last few years have been pretty hard. We had a great time in the wonderful ministry in Florida. We took a left there, got to Magnolia Springs. Things were just starting to pick up. We went there specifically to help try to work with the youth group to get it going because they had no youth at all. And then COVID hit. And that just devastated our church. People wouldn't come in. They wouldn't gather. They wouldn't do anything. It almost killed our church. We were sitting in our cars listening to the preacher speaking over FM 90.1 or something. And that's the only week we had service. Nobody wanted to get close. And so that was bad enough. But then a lot of our close friends and neighbors down in Florida, they got the COVID, they died. We lost a bunch of friends to COVID. But you know, I'm not scared of COVID. I'm just not, because this song tells me about it. You know, this the setting of Psalm 32, David was a young boy, and he had a personal relationship with God, even as a young boy, a shepherd boy, because he went out and he faced the Philistines and Goliath, and he said, hey, who are you to take and be mocking my God? And make him front of all of us. So he had that relationship, and I think as a little boy, when I got saved about 10 years old, 8 or 10 years old, I knew God. I knew about salvation. I knew about Jesus. But then I turned. And I'm not going to give any excuses. I just did it. It doesn't matter why I did it. It's the fact I did. I walked away from God. Just like David did here. David looking at his life, and he's seeing his life as a young boy with a relationship with God. And then he sees his life as a king and all the blessings there. And then he sees that period in his life when he is up on that rooftop and he looks over and he sees old Bathsheba over there taking baths. Instead of doing what he knew God wanted him to do, was turn around and go back down there and not look, he says, that looks pretty good. I think I'll stay up there. And that's what I said about the world. Hey, you know, I think that world looks pretty good, man. There's a lot of fun things out there. And so he goes down there, and you know the whole story about David and Bathsheba and her husband and the conspiracy to get him killed and all that kind of stuff there. And look what it says about David. David's looking at his life now. At that period of time when he had covered that all up, he was hiding his secret to get her husband killed. It says, when I kept silent, instead of just going to God and confessing his sin, he hid it.
Yeah.
He said, I kept silence, my bones waxed old, though through my roaring all the day. All the day night, my hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into a drought of summer in Texas weather. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't say Texas. It's pretty hot, you know. He was dried out. And I know, I can look back at my life, when I was running out there in the world doing all that stupid stuff, this is the same thing. I knew I was wrong. I knew. And how many times that I would take and go home from a bar or some place I shouldn't have been, and I'd weep all the way home. Because I knew, and this is David. This is King of Israel. He said, and I see people that have done drugs. We worked with a lot of homeless people and stuff like that. And I see what drugs and alcohol and sinful life does to a person. It makes a 25-year-old man look like he's 50 or 60 years old. That's what God, David's talking about here. And, you know, but God was merciful to David, and God was merciful to me. God sent Nathan the prophet to take and confront David about his sin.
Thank you, Lord.
It, just like he did with me, March 23rd, 1988, I was pretty horse drunk on my bed, and I couldn't fight God anymore. I got tired of fighting God, running from the door, and I cried out, and I cried out to God just like David did. David says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression and unto the Lord. And the good news right there. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin.
Thank you. Amen.
And I'm thankful his life that he forgave me of my sin. Because if he hadn't forgiven me of all my sin and kept me, you know, it's one thing to take, in some of these religions, they take and say, well, you get saved, but don't you mess up. Don't you do that. God will throw you away. On the 7th and here today, I'm living proof. And I'm an alcoholic, and I've been sober since March 23rd, 1988. That's a long time.
Amen.
Not one relapse. Not one.
Thank you. Thank you.
By the power of God, I stand here.
Amen.
He said, I acknowledge my sin. This shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee. And he goes on down there and says, and today he's looking at his life and he said, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. And thou shalt compress me about with songs of deliverance. And I'm not afraid of COVID. I told him I'll never wear a mask. I did go home and get the shots. I got two shots. The second shot, I almost died. There ain't no more shots for me. And then he says, and then God begins to speak here. He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the ways which you shall go. Thou shalt go. And I'm thankful here today that, you know, whenever I was in and out of church and stuff like that, I saw people, somebody mentioned here, they had something that I knew that I didn't have. I had my salvation, but I didn't have the joy and the peace of that salvation. And if you don't have that, you can't even begin to understand it.
Right.
There's no word that I've got to explain it.
Yes.
The joy and the peace of my salvation blows my mind. It definitely. But he said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. You know, he gives the Christian, the true born again Christian, eyes to be able to see the truth and what this world is all about. They're take and tell people, man, all you have to do is trust in God and he'll forgive you your sin, confess your sin. They don't understand that. They think you got to do something, you have to stop being everything bad and all that kind of stuff. That's not true. Whenever I surrendered my life to the Lord, I said, Lord, whatever you see in me that you don't like, I yield to you, and you begin to change whatever you don't like. And he's still working on it.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for
thank
that.
You, Lord.
Amen. And that was God. Be ye not as a horse. Don't be like this old mule he's talking about here, stubborn. That's what I was for a long year. And you know what you do with a stubborn horse? You beat it with a stick to make it go. And I got tired of that beating. I'm like these blessings. You know, blessings and beatings, I take the blessings any day. Don't be like the mule which have not no understanding, whose mouth shall be held with a bit and wild, lest thou come near to thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful here tonight. I believe with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, I'm directly in the center of God's will for my life.
Thank you,
my Lord. Mm-hmm. I'm satisfied. I go to bed every night. Sometimes I don't see the satisfaction that I'd like to see with a bunch of youth in our church and things, but I know that right now we're right there, and I've had all different kinds of jobs. Sometimes I get to preach, sometimes I get to teach, sometimes I get to clean sheetrock, sometimes I get to clean the toilet. But that's what the church needs. I'm a part of the body of Christ. heart. And whatever that body needs, and I can do it, that's what I believe that the Lord has called me to do. And I'm not afraid to stand with it. I'm not afraid of going and getting somebody's face and telling them, you know, about salvation and their ultimate destiny. But I'm thankful that we're taking right in the center. And sometimes it is hard because sometimes you look around and say, hey, where are you going? And then I remember all you have to do is turn around and be right there. And he's still there. He says, I'll never leave you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. That without the obedience and faith of one man coming to preach the gospel to me, that I stand here today saved, knowing without a doubt, without any hesitance at all, that my blood, my sins have been forgiven and been covered by the blood of the Lamb, and I no longer see my mother and my brother. I don't know about anybody else, but those two people, I'm not going to comment. I know that I've seen him because I talked to my brother personally, and I asked him. He said, George, the one that just passed away, he said, look, I don't know a whole lot about the Bible. He said, I don't know which version is right. And he said, I don't even know what denomination is right. And he said, I know that I'm a sinner, and I confess to God that I'm a sinner and that I have no hope of getting to heaven except to the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. He said, that's what I put my faith and trust in. And that's how he died. He died trusting God. And he was a mortal man just like me. And he had faults and I had faults. I'm not going to glorify anybody. My faults had faults too. But they were all under the same blood that mine are. So, you know, nobody's got a right to throw rocks. But I'm just thankful to be able to come here today and they can share this and to see all the faces that we truly love and miss. And we pray for this church every day. I pray for this church every day.
Thank you.
I pray for the Freeborn Church. I pray for the church in Hudson. And you know, talk about family. And I got families all over the place now. Because they are.
Thank you, Lord.
And as soon as we walk into a church to go to work, that we become a part of that family. And we have some really wonderful friends, especially in Hudson. It was a wonderful time ministering to all those kids. But I can say that I'm blessed. And there's nothing in this world that can even begin to compare to the life that he gives us in this world and the next. And I think about the destination that I was on the way to, hell. I read the end of the book, and that ain't a good thing for those people that reject Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Turn to Hebrews 10. One thing that strikes me as I'm here this morning, I have a 72-year-old coworker who was talking to me about his Thanksgiving. And he's talking about all his Cornish hens and all the family. And he's an atheist. And I just said, I'm surprised you celebrate Thanksgiving. He said, why? And it's a religious holiday. And he's like, oh? I'm like, well, who are you thanking? And he just sort of looked at me funny. But it's interesting to see everyone thanking people, but a true Thanksgiving as opposed to just sitting down and eating. Hebrews 10, let's start in verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then they would not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, and the volume of the book is written in me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Amen. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Amen. We'll stop there. Chapter 10 of Hebrews is literally my favorite chapter of the Bible, interestingly. But I've been doing a study of both Leviticus and Hebrews at the same time. It's a very interesting study. And I've never really paid much attention to Leviticus. I read it because you had to get through the Bible, but I haven't really paid much attention to it until recently. And I realized in reading it that Judaism is just really bloody. I mean, gallons upon gallons of blood. Priests were basically just butchers. That's all they did. From the time they got up to the time they went to bed, they butchered animals. And that was, I read someplace where it said, sort of contemporary, it said you could smell the temple long before you got there. And I'm struck every time I read Leviticus of how blessed we are. That isn't what we have to do. We didn't have to bring a bull this morning. We didn't have to bring a goat. There's no blood pouring here on an altar. We have no altars. There was only one altar, and Jesus died on it. And what really struck me as I read this is that he offered one sacrifice for sin. Yeah. It's done. It's done. I don't have to bring that bull or goat. And I'm really thankful in this verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I'm just thankful I'm perfect.
Amen.
I am perfect.
Perfect forever.
I am perfect forever because I've been sanctified by the blood of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Precious blood.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you didn't get a chance to thank the Lord, you can come back tonight. We're going to have a picnic and a dinner, and we're going to have a Lord's Supper at 4 o'clock, and we're going to have another Lord's Supper at 7 o'clock. Whichever one you want to do, that's fine. But in the open meetings, you can always thank the Lord for something you missed or you did not get a chance, but it's getting pretty close. We're going to be thanking the Lord for the food, and we want to let you know we've brought a lot of food. My wife cooks just for me and her, and my mother-in-law, we just three of us, but she brought enough to feed all of them. So do not feel like you need to leave because you didn't bring anything. Please stay and eat with us. You're absolutely welcome. We're going to have plenty of food, probably be able to take some home. But we're going to have dinner on the grounds right here. We'll go over there and serve ourselves and have some food. And then after that, we're going to be playing some games and stuff like that, singing some songs out in the parking lot or out in the fields or what have you. You're all welcome to stay as long as you want. Then somewhere around 3:30 or 4 o'clock, we'll have an early Lord's Supper so that some that live far away can head on out and not feel the need to come back. But that's our plan. Right now, we're going to thank the Lord for the food and dismiss this meeting here. And so I'm going to ask Brother Brent Riggs if you'll thank the Lord for the food and dismiss us.
Father in heaven, we are thankful most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, for what he's done. Thank you for your church and giving your Son for the church and for the bride of your Son. Father, we're thankful for the fellowship we've had this morning, for all the ladies and all the preparation that was gone out to prepare for this day. We thank you for that food that you've given to us and the grace of life and the mercies you've given to us and for the forgiveness. We're just thankful, Lord. We want to glorify you now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
You ladies with young children, just cut in line. Just go right ahead and get cut in line, get whatever you got to get. Also, you old folks.